Good evening. The reading tonight is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. In these verses, the writer of Hebrews challenges us to think more deeply about our faith. You can follow along with the screen from the screen behind me. It's printed in your bulletin as well. You can look it up. It's really in the Bible there and provided for you in the pews, in the red pew Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. This is the word of the Lord.
Testing, 1, 2.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned earlier,
we start a new sermon series today using the Hebrews chapter 11 as our focus text. A little bit hot there, Harvey, a little bit hot. The series is titled, By Faith. This chapter is a litany of people who, by faith, accomplish some remarkable things. People like Abraham and Sarah, Moses, Samuel, David, just to name a few of all those who are listed there in that text. Today we start out by defining faith. It's been 3 months since I've climbed in this pulpit, so what better way to begin than by asking you a question that deals with faith? Now remember where you're sitting. You're in God's house. So answer honestly. I mean, after all, we don't need lightning striking this building one more time, do we? So how many of you, since Hurricane Harvey, have topped off your gas tank? How many have done it more than once? There you go. Well, I have it on good word from an authority in the industry. There is not a gas shortage. So all the more reason that we spend some time today and in the next few weeks talking about faith. Well, what is faith? We can start with a dictionary definition of what faith is. It says it's a confidence or a trust in a person or a thing. Or it's a belief not based on proof. Or a system of religious belief. Now, there may be some truth in each of those things, but I find them somewhat lacking. In those first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11 that we heard just a moment ago, there's a great solid definition of faith. It said this: faith is assurance, faith is conviction, and faith is certainty or full trust in God. So we're going to talk about those three definitions of faith today. First of all, let's look at faith as assurance. What is assurance? Assurance is a pledge, a promise, or a guarantee. The text for today says it this way, Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What do we hope for? We hope for good weather, right? We sure pray for those folks that are in the midst of the storm that they would have some better weather. What else do we hope for? We hope for riches, right? So life can be a little easier.
Every day, every week, in the midst of a long and arduous drought, his prayers were
And there's one thing that we can indeed be assured of without any doubt. We can be assured of the promise of salvation because Jesus suffered, died, and rose again in 3 days, that 3 days after he died. And his resurrection is a seal on that promise for us because our ultimate hope is in that forgiveness of sins and that resurrection to a new life that he offers to us. And so we put our assurance not in things, not even in people, but in God. Secondly, we look at faith as conviction. What's a conviction? A conviction is a firmly held belief. In a court of law, a conviction means with a very great deal of certainty that the perpetrator of a particular crime is indeed guilty as charged. In the arena of faith, though, a conviction is a belief that will not change. An argument was made some years ago between a preference and a conviction. David C. Gibbs Jr., Christian Law Association, wrote this. He said, "A preference is a very strong belief held with great strength. You can give your entire life in full-time service to it. You can also give your entire material wealth in the name of that belief. You can also energetically proselyze people to get them to believe in that preference. You can also desire to teach this belief to your children. But the Supreme Court may still say and still rule that it's a preference. You see, a preference is a strong belief, but a belief that you will change under the right circumstances. Circumstances such as peer pressure or family pressure or lawsuits or jail or threat of death. If your beliefs are such that other people will stand with you before you will stand, your beliefs are preferences and not convictions." Hear that again. That's some powerful words. If your beliefs are such that other people will stand with you before you will stand, your beliefs are preferences, not convictions. You might ask the question, would you be willing to die for those preferences, for those beliefs? And here's the difference. A conviction is a belief that will not change. Why, you might ask? Well, a person believes that their God requires it of them. You see, preferences aren't protected by the Constitution, but convictions are. And a conviction is not something we discover somewhere along the line. It's something that we purpose in our heart. Convictions on the inside will always show up on the outside. We bear that fruit that God asks us to bear. People see it lived in our lifestyle, in our words, in our actions, in our deeds. And to violate that conviction would be sinful. Hebrews 11:1 records this. It says, "Faith is the conviction of things not seen." So the writer here adds a condition to that conviction of our faith. He says, it's the conviction of things not seen, of things that are invisible to us. So we go back to what we said with the children a moment ago. We don't see God, and yet we believe in God. None of us were witnesses to Jesus' death and resurrection, and yet that's at the very heart of our faith as Christians. St. Paul, who himself had to be blinded on the road to Damascus before he could truly see with eyes of faith, wrote some very powerful words about the conviction of faith in his second letter to the Corinthians. Chapter 4:18, he says this, "We look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." Luther himself, speaking on Hebrews 11, said this, "One of the noblest and most precious virtues of faith is to close one's eyes to this, ingenuously to desist from exploring the why and the wherefore, and cheerfully leave everything to God." That's easier said than done, of course. But powerful when we can place our everything, our life, our faith, our trust in God, and allow God to direct us in our lives. St. Paul said a little later in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. So we have assurance, we have conviction, and finally we recognize faith as certainty. Certainty is knowing that something is true without a doubt. And yet, one of the hardest challenges for people to accept is just how little they really know. An example of this overestimated knowledge took place a few years ago with a national lottery winner in Spain. He was asked how he selected the winning number. He answered that he was positive. He was certain. His lucky number was 48. It ended in 48. Because, he said, I dreamed of the number 7 for 7 straight nights. And 7 times 7 is 48. It's good to be certain, but we can certainly be wrong. So if we have problems with our certainty, how can we be assured that faith is certain? Well, first of all, faith is not an opinion. It's a certitude. Let's look at what the text says, Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand. In other words, we are certain that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. This takes us back to the beginning of our Bibles, Genesis chapter 1, 1. In the beginning, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. We teach and believe that God created the heaven and the earth out of nothing. Ex nihilo, the Latin phrase. Hebrews 11:3 affirms this for us. Our faith assures us that God and God alone has the power to create, to bring into existence from nothing. Yes, we humans make or create things only by rearranging what God has already put into place. In other words, we take wood, we make it into beautiful furniture or a beautiful house. We take metals, precious metals, we turn them into beautiful works of jewelry, so on and so forth. But we don't create the raw elements. God already has made those. We recreate, you might say. We remake them into things. And I wonder then who gave us the knowledge how to do all that. God, of course. Our faith assures us that God and God alone has that power to create again. And by believing this, we acknowledge that God is a sovereign ruler of all things and of our lives. So faith in God as creator is foundational for us in knowing God and having a relationship with God. So the author of Hebrews, again, begins by defining faith for us in some very clear terms. That faith is assurance. That faith is conviction. That faith is certainty. And he does this because he wants us to have faith that endures, a faith that endures trials and temptations and trust in the promises of God, the promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And such faith, as we will see in the examples in the rest of this 11th chapter of Hebrews over these next few weeks, is a faith that's down to earth and practical. It has satisfied God's people through thousands of years in every sort of difficulty, and it will continue to sustain us in our trials that we face in our world today. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.